Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's come aboard.
Happy Tuesday to you. North America, the mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the four-hour satellite soiree. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Green Bay to Greenville, Kalamazoo and Waterloo, we are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And happy Tuesday to you, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. Good morning. We come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. How are we doing, everybody? Thanks so much for joining us. Good show coming up for you, lined up today, coming your way. He won this past weekend at Homestead. The number 24 Chevy car, Hendrick Motorsports, William Byron, just 23 years old and taking on the checkered flag this past weekend. We'll talk to William coming up here at hour number four, another NASCAR winner. Another checkered flag right here aboard the mothership, which is awesome. We've had so many great drivers already join us this year. Early part of the season for NASCAR. It continues today with William Byron. Also, this morning on the show, Gary Parrish is going to join us. CBS Sports College Basketball Insider. Bracketology with Gary. It is now March the 2nd to be exact. So it's time to start honing in on the best teams in college basketball and what that field of 68 might look like. In the NBA, the Hawks dump their head coach, Lloyd Pierce. Did they have a choice? Also, in the NFL, trade discussions between the Panthers and the Niners at quarterback, Bridgewater, Jimmy G. We'll discuss the tail of the tape there. Mac Jones is getting a lot of comps to Tom Brady, of all people, in the NFL draft. And, of course, it's a Trash Tuesday. And so we want to know what's bugging you. What is eating at you? What do you want to vent about today? We'll do that here on the show by simply hitting us up on the phones at 855-212-4CBS or on Twitter, DA on CBS. But the news of the morning is the decision by future Hall of Famer J.J. Watt to take his talents to the Valley. We had reports of his front runners being the Green Bay Packers. He had grown up in Wisconsin, of course, played at Wisconsin. Also, he had the idea, or actually grew up as a Packers fan. He also had the Buffalo Bills seemingly on his list, a team that was in the AFC Championship game this past year, just an inch away from the Super Bowl. We had heard that perhaps the Tennessee Titans were high on his list as well. That was from a report not long ago. And we had also figured the Pittsburgh Steelers might factor in both of his brothers playing there. Add into it the Cleveland Browns, another team that reportedly he had interest in. And all of those teams were in the playoffs, knocking on the door of a Super Bowl. And yet yesterday, J.J. Watt decided to go to the desert. The Arizona Cardinals, a team that began the season hot, but really fell off the cliff in the second half of the season and went 8-8 last year and missed the playoffs altogether. So for J.J. Watt, he does join his former teammate DeAndre Hopkins, who was doing a recruiting pitch of his own via social media. J.J. Watt does join a team with a young quarterback in Kyler Murray, but he also joins a team with a pass rush that could bookend him with Chandler Jones, but he also joins a squad that, unlike the other favorites in this race, didn't even make the playoffs last year. Did J.J. Watt make a good decision? It is where we begin your cold open.
I'm very excited. My wife and I are very excited to be here. Mr. Bidwell, Steve, everybody here has been unbelievable so far. And I'm just excited to get started. I'm very excited to get started, get to work, get to know the people of Arizona, and to go to work to try and help them win a championship. And the one thing that I can promise you is I'm going to work my ass off every single day to make you proud. And I'm very proud to be a part of the Bird Gang in the Red Sea. So let's get started.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
J.J. Watt, and that audio courtesy of Cardinals.com, J.J. Watt has earned the right to choose where he wants to go for whatever reasons he wants to go there. Three-time defensive player of the year. When he's been healthy on the field, he has been an absolute wrecking ball. He's a menace to quarterbacks, at least he was in his prime, and will be a first ballot Pro Football Hall of Famer. He's done a ton of great things off of the football field as well, specifically with hurricane relief in Houston. And so J.J. Watt, after years of mediocrity in Houston, deserved the chance to go to wherever his heart desires. And if the Cardinals are willing to pay him $27 million guaranteed to suit up and play for them, God bless. But if you're asking me, does this give J.J. Watt the best chance to win? No, it does not. If J.J. Watt's priority was winning a Super Bowl, with all due respect to Cardinals fans, this does not give him the best chance at winning that elusive ring. Even with J.J. Watt, you could make the argument the Cardinals are still the worst team in their own division. Last year, the Seattle Seahawks won the division at 12-4. Going into Week 17, they still had an outside shot at having the one seed in the NFC. I know there's been a lot of noise around the Seahawks and Russell Wilson. Obviously, we talk about this on the show relentlessly. So the Russell Wilson-Pete Carroll divide is something the Seahawks need to get over. But again, Seattle's going to bring back most of the same team that won 12 games last year. With the Los Angeles Rams, the team that came in second place in the division, you can't tell me they didn't upgrade. The Rams bring back most of the same team, the best defensive player in the football, the new J.J. Watt and Aaron Donald, one of the best corners in football in Jalen Ramsey, and they've now upgraded a quarterback significantly, in my mind, from Jared Goff to Matthew Stafford. You then have the San Francisco 49ers, who last year clearly fell on hard times, and the Niners were sub 500 and never got on track because of all of the injuries. But if the 49ers are healthy, we saw what they did 2 years ago. They went to the Super Bowl with a healthy roster, a healthy Jimmy G, and an elite defense. If the Niners are healthy, they're probably better than the Cardinals as well, even with the J.J. Watt. DeAndre Hopkins is wonderful. And Watt being paired with Chandler Jones could make life really hellish in a lot of quarterbacks. But J.J. is also not the guy anymore to carry your sack totals. J.J. Watt in his early 30s has not been a dominant player since 2018. So 2019 and 2020, once again, were either injury-prone or underwhelming seasons from a sack total standpoint by J.J. Watt. He's getting up there in age. Kyler Murray leaves a lot to be desired right now in consistency, put up some great numbers, but in terms of winning games when it mattered most, including a crucial late-season game against the San Francisco 49ers at home that they absolutely had to have, Kyler and the offense sputtered. So J.J. Watt joins a team that, yes, is intriguing. Yes, it is intriguing. It does not give him his best chance to win a Super Bowl. Now, again, he might have plenty of other reasons to go there. Maybe connecting with DeAndre Hopkins was one of them. Perhaps Hopkins told him all these great things about ownership and the coaching staff and the facilities and living in Phoenix, etc., versus older years, cold weather, going to Pittsburgh or Green Bay or Buffalo. Maybe he wanted a warm weather situation. Maybe he wanted a Sun Belt city. I don't know. Maybe this is great for his family, tax purposes, state of Arizona. There's a million things he could have weighed here. But if J.J. Watt says my biggest thing was winning a Super Bowl, I got to say, I got to call BS on that. I just don't think this gives him his best chance. And you could say, well, with J.J. Watt, he can swing the pendulum, D.A. The Cardinals lost a lot of close games last year. They were 8-8, so they're a game outside of making the playoffs. Don't you think J.J. Watt could be the difference of one game? Sure. Yes, I believe that. But then you're only talking about a team that J.J. Watt makes into 9-7 versus a team like the Bills who go to the AFC title game without J.J. What does J.J. Watt do for the Bills? A team like the Packers, if Green Bay gets, I don't know, one stop in that divisional round game, or the NFC Championship game, rather, the Green Bay Packers are in the Super Bowl, potentially. That's how close those teams were, and they supposedly had interest in J.J. Watt. Now, maybe it wasn't right money-wise. And again, J.J. has earned the right to go to the highest bidder. I'm not going to begrudge him for that. If the Packers are giving him $10 million guaranteed and the Bills are giving him $15 million guaranteed and the Cardinals are giving him $27 million guaranteed, who am I to say leave $15 million on the table for your final big contract? That might have been the reason as well. But the way that I look at it, with all of the other teams that were interested in him supposedly, this was definitely not the best chance to win a championship. Might have been a million other reasons. Might be a great fit for him personally, and I do not begrudge him at all for any of that. But in terms of winning a ring, I don't believe the Arizona Cardinals are winning a Super Bowl this upcoming season. And I believe that even with J.J. Watt, I would rank the Cardinals under those other teams in terms of Super Bowl odds. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. I can't say yesterday I was shocked because we had not known from J.J. Watt's mouth or camp exactly what he was looking for. We had had reports from other people about who the front runners or who was on J.J. Watt's list, but who knows how truthful, honest all of that was. The Cardinals were not on that list, so maybe the reports weren't great. Maybe something changed at the last second. I wasn't shocked because I could understand the allure of playing in Phoenix, specifically the city and the weather and the facilities and the idea that the Cardinals are intriguing and the recruitment by DeAndre Hopkins. So it didn't shock me, but I did say to myself, yeah, that doesn't give them the best chance to win a championship. They still might be the fourth best team of the NFC West. Whereas did the announcement yesterday by J.J. Watt shock you?
I don't know that anywhere he would have went shocked me, But I think I was just more disappointed when more of the facts and details came out in both parties here, because I think you nailed on a ton of things with the Arizona Cardinals in their division. The fact is the Arizona Cardinals weren't a 32-year-old J.J. Watt away from a Super Bowl. You're talking about pairing him with Chandler Jones, D.A. Just last year, Hassan Reddick on the other side of Chandler Jones had 12.5 sacks. They traded for Marcus Golden halfway through the year. He had 4.5 sacks. J.J. Watt just played 16 games for only the second time in the last 5 years and only had 5 sacks. I know faced a lot of double teams, but really looked like a shell of his former self. So the pass rush, in essence, was not the issue with the Arizona Cardinals last year that held them back from not making the playoffs and part of their collapse. So I can't say that signing J.J. Watt and bringing in $23 million guaranteed onto your salary cap over the next 2 years is going to be the difference between a Super Bowl or not. And now there's a report from John Gambardaro, I believe is his name. I don't want to say his name wrong. He's a sports talk host in Arizona that actually the Browns and Colts offered more money to J.J. Watt, and those teams actually made the playoffs. So if he's not even taking the most money to go to Arizona, how could he think that teams offering him more money who have been to the playoffs don't offer him a better chance to win a Super Bowl than the Arizona Cardinals?
I wonder what his power rankings were. I wonder what his priority is. Obviously, he is going to talk glowingly about Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray and a team that is on the rise. And you could certainly make the argument the Cardinals should continue to improve. What I think they were 5-11 in year number one with Kingsbury and Kyler Murray, last year increasing that to 8-8. Midway through the season after the Hail Murray, they looked prime position to make the playoffs. So you could say, okay, arrow pointed up. But, boy, J.J. just could not have made the decision based solely on a championship. And I guess, as you said, according to this report from Gambo out in Arizona, who has been out there and connected for a very long time, it wasn't the most money either. So it must have been fit in terms of GM, coach, I guess, potential, and combine that with money and combine that with DeAndre Hopkins, I'm sure, selling him pretty good on it, because I don't know, even with J.J. Watt, where would we slot the Cardinals in terms of Super Bowl chances of the NFC?
Yeah, sixth at best.
I mean, we'd put the Packers, even if Drew Brees doesn't return, I think you'd still put the Saints with Taysom Hill or Jameis Winston above them. I think
you'd
put
to.
The Seahawks, as long as they don't trade Russell Wilson, above them.
You certainly put the
Buccaneers ahead of them. And I think you would put the Rams ahead of them as well in that division. That's five right there. I mean, if Dak is healthy, do you put the Cowboys ahead of the Cardinals?
Possibly, because they have an easier road through their division, but I can't get sucked into the Cowboy wheel every year like we do. But that's my point. Now you start at least having the conversation of best case scenario for the Cardinals versus everybody else comes in at sixth in the NFC.
Yeah, you're talking about that next bar, which is whoever the Bears get at quarterback, the Bears, the Niners getting healthy, the Vikings, the winner of the NFC East. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Feels
Do
like
the Falcons
J.
get fixed? I don't know. Yeah.
J.J. Watt chose, at best, the fifth or sixth best team in the NFC.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say maybe at best the fourth best team in the NFC. Maybe the New Orleans Saints fall off. You know, the Cardinals, Kyler takes the next step. But I don't think they're a top three team in the NFC.
Yeah, if your priority is taking less money and winning a Super Bowl, to me, I would need, if I'm J.J. Watt, to go to a place that at least now has some playoff experience where they feel like you're a veteran that could come in, help that locker room, maybe more so than even on the field, and just elevate that mentality of we could do this in that spot. I mean, they haven't even tackled the first hurdle of getting eliminated in a wild card round yet with Kyler Murray. So that to me, is an issue for J.J. Watt.
And you could say, well, the Buccaneers went from out of the playoffs and winning a Super Bowl, but Kyler Murray is not Tom Brady.
Right.
And if Tom Brady was not the quarterback of the Buccaneers, there's no way the Buccaneers win that Super Bowl. The defense was phenomenal. All the pieces came together. Arians was a great coach. But if you swapped Kyler Murray in for Tom Brady this past season, there's no way the Buccaneers are going to New Orleans and going to Green Bay and winning a Super Bowl this year. So, I mean, look, J.J. made the decisions for whatever reason he did, and he's totally okay doing that, and he gets the green light, and that's his right. And it's cool that he didn't take the most money. I mean, a lot of guys certainly would, but I do really wonder what the power rankings were for Watt. So we'll continue talking about this morning here on the show at 855-212-4CBS. We're on Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, your best audio of the day. A former Patriots great weighs in on how free agents will be viewing the Patriots these days. And it's good to have baseball back because that means it's John and Susan on the Yankees Radio Network. Wait till you hear how John views day one with his new digs. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Remember, you can listen to the DA show on demand whenever it is that you want to listen in podcast form. So check it out. The DA show, available on your favorite podcast platform, either full episodes of the show or the best of version every single day as well. Just search the DA show on that podcast platform of yours. Subscribe, rate, and review. Soundcheck begins with the Chiefs GM, Brett Veach, on when to expect Patrick Mahomes back after surgery to his toe.
Pat had his toe surgery on 2-10. You know, talking to Rick late last week, it's a 3-month recovery, so we're hopeful, you know, somewhere around that mandatory mini camp if we have. You know, we certainly think by training camp he'll be good to go, and we'll be smart with him.
The one thing I will say about Patrick Mahomes is that he has been dinged up in his three seasons as a starter. Remember the kneecap injury that he suffered in Denver 2 years ago, was able to bounce back, and obviously the Chiefs went on to win a Super Bowl, but at the time it looked devastating. And then this past year, the toe injury, also the concussion-like symptoms he suffered, even though the Chiefs insisted it was not a concussion, but he was obviously in concussion protocol and looked like he suffered one against the Browns in the divisional round. So that's one thing that the Chiefs obviously have to make sure that they do, protect Mahomes at all costs. Some of it just is going to happen, natural course of a football player's career. But for Patrick Mahomes to do all the great things that we expect him to do, he's going to have to stay healthy. And part of that is trying to avoid getting hit and trying to avoid being injured. Here is Ted Johnson, who won 3 Super Bowls with the New England Patriots. He was one of the outstanding linebackers of the first crew of Patriots championships. And he joined the Zach Gelb show right here on CBS Sports Radio. How should free agents be viewing heading to Foxborough these days?
With skepticism. I would be very, very worried about what's going on there. You had 2 of the most decorated football players in the history of that organization. Hell, maybe in the history of their position. In Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski, that both wanted out of this place. I don't care about all the banners. They were big contributors. Gronk was for 3 of them, and Tom was for all 6 of them. But you know, the fact that those guys, and they went down there and they had fun and they made sure everyone saw that they were having fun and won it in Tampa Bay. And so if I'm a player, I'm like, man, why did those guys want to leave that place so bad over there?
Thank you. Hello, Teddy J, dropping truth bombs. Now, Teddy Johnson has had some problems with Bill Belichick and how his end of career went. And so there might be some history there. But at the end of the day, Ted Johnson's just speaking that truth. And that is, incoming free agents look at Tom Brady and he wanted out. They look at Rob Gronkowski and he retired instead of continued to play for the Patriots. Both those guys come back. And the number one bullet point on their comeback is, we had fun again. Make football fun again, which is what leaving the Patriots did for both of them. You're going to go to New England, and you'll have whatever at quarterback. It's certainly not settled right now. So you don't have guaranteed winning. You don't have guaranteed success at quarterback. You have two of the greats of the organization's history desperate to leave and have fun going somewhere else and clearly still having football left in them. And Ted Johnson's speaking the truth. If you're a free agent and you used to be intrigued by the Patriots, it was for one reason only. They won a lot. Sure, going to play for Bill Belichick, you could pick his brain, be around a great coaching mind. Yeah, there's a value there. But is that enough to say no to other options where you're getting more money because the Patriots don't spend a lot? Or you get a better chance to win because the team you go to is coming off a playoff spot? Or you're going to a place that has a great quarterback? Or you're going to a warm weather destination? Or you're going to an easier division? I mean, all of those things would be a check mark in somebody else's box versus the Patriots' box right now. So, Teddy J, he's speaking the truth. And finally, John Sterling, who's now 81, 82 years old, still calling radio play-by-play for the New York Yankees Radio Network. And John Sterling begins his first broadcast of spring training on Sunday, fascinated by the positions of everybody on his broadcast team.
Live from everywhere, it's New York Yankees Spring Training Baseball, powered by Jeep and the Jeep President's Day Sale. Well, we bid you a good afternoon. I know that's an odd open, but here's why. I'm broadcasting from the Yes Studios in Stamford. Susan is broadcasting from Westchester. Jack Candy Maldonado produces and engineers, and the Yankees, well, they're all in Tampa, Florida. That's broadcasting 2021.
I like how John references how strange of an open it was when we didn't need to know that. It's radio. There is no reason for him to have to address how, quote, weird it was, because it didn't sound weird to us at all. It just sounded like John Sterling was calling a baseball game. Again, there's no visuals here. We can't tell you're not there in Tampa, John.
Terrible.
This is truly what is amazing to me, Merez. Here is a guy that is calling spring training baseball, okay? The players barely care. A bunch of guys that'll never see the light of day in the majors are going to be playing in these games. There's going to be a smattering of fans at these games, and John is still calling spring training games. Do you know when he was born? And this is if we believe his birth date is correct. Do you know when he was born?
I actually do know when he was born. He was okay. Born, I believe, in 1938.
That is correct.
Okay.
Correct. July the 4th. He's an Independence Day baby. July the 4th, perfect for John Sterling, voice of the Yankees, is 82. This July 4th, he's going to be 83. He was born in the 30s. Could you imagine being born in the 30s and still calling spring training baseball?
DA, I mean, I've established my career here on the DA show. He was 50 when I was born.
Yoenis.
The man was born during the Great Depression, and he's still calling spring training baseball games.
Terrible.
He is a legend. We love him here on the show. And the fact that we have John Sterling sound bites to play now until September, October is just, it warms my heart. I'm excited. He is back.
Yankees win. The Yank Ow.
And what will Yankees game sound like with John and Susan and the producer all in three different places that are not the game site? I mean, I can only imagine how many balls get lost to the stands, out of the frame. He has no idea if it's a home run or a ground rule double. Is it a foul ball, a strikeout, a tip? I mean, this is going to be wonderful.
Yeah, and how will you know when John or Susan are speaking and the other has basically looked the other way and not paid attention for a second for a toss? I'm sure one of those awkward moments is coming as well.
Well, the fans thought it was a strikeout also. Well, they were looking at the board like I was.
Well, that's their mistake.
John and Susan, they're back. All right, that is sound check. Standing by is kind sir Andrew Bogish. Bogues, are you as excited as I am to have John Sterling and Susan Waldman back in our lives?
I mean, it's the only positive I can say about the Yankees, right, is that those two are back in a booth, going to entertain us for 162-plus games. Everything else about the Yankees is annoying because it's the Yankees, but at least we've got those two to kind of balance all that out.
How amazing is it that the man was born in the 30s and is calling spring training baseball games?
I mean, did they even have spring training in 1938, or were guys still working like in the local grocery store to make ends meet before returning to their major league team for the regular season? Because, I mean, that's a really, really long time ago. And as, man, I'd love to have John's career, but at 83, I want to be home watching spring training games, not working spring training games.
Just as some context, historical context here, the day that John Sterling was born, the
Declaration of Independence was
the non-intervention committee reached an agreement to withdraw all foreign volunteers from the Spanish Civil War.
It's a big day.
The next month, Winston Churchill, still believing France and Britain mean to honor their promises to defend Czechoslovakia against Nazi aggression, suggests in a personal note to His Majesty's government to set up a broad international alliance that includes FDR and the U.S. Winston Churchill reached out to FDR the month after John Sterling was born, and he's calling spring training baseball games.
Yeah, the year he was born, there were 10 NFL teams. Two of them were the Brooklyn Dodgers and the Pittsburgh Pirates. The Rams were playing in Cleveland.
So there was no Houston Texans needing to trade Deshaun Watson.
Oh, there wasn't. Rough year for the Pirates. 2-9. They played 11 games.
There was no Houston Texans or Deshaun Watson.
J.J. Watt's great-grandfather kicking the tires on that Pittsburgh Pirates team. Should I sign there in the offseason? They could use me.
Okay. I'd like one tall caramel cocoa cluster frappuccino blended coffee.
Yeah,
when John four of was... those words didn't exist in 1938. Only coffee did, but cocoa, caramel, and blended were not things.
Frappuccino, definitely not a thing when John Sterling was born.
That's baseball.
All right, Bogue says our headlines. What do we got?
Well, somehow we have stumbled into a perfect segue, because I'm about to tell you that wearing number 99 in Arizona could be an issue for J.J. Watt, because the number has been retired to honor a man who played in the late 30s and 40s for the Chicago Cardinals. So Marshall Goldberg was a two-way star.
Favorite player growing up.
When John Sterling was growing up and learning to love sports. However, and he's not only is his number retired, but he's also in the Ring of Honor in Arizona. That happened in 2006. He has long since passed away. But his daughter tells TMZ if J.J. wants to wear number 99, he would have the family's blessing.
Okay. How does TMZ track down this guy's daughter? They're unbelievable.
Marshall Goldberg is the name?
I believe that's his name. I wrote it down once. I could have wrote it down incorrectly, but I believe that's his name.
Haven't seen that throwback by Mitchell and Ness.
So did Sterling have the Marshall Goldberg jersey growing up?
Goldberg?
The Atlanta Hawks fired head coach Lloyd Pierce yesterday. The team is 14-20 this season, 63-120 in 2+ years under Pierce. Assistant Nate McMillan is the interim replacement after getting the okay from his former boss, Mr. Pierce. On the court last night, a wild ending in San Antonio.
Irving's going to penetrate all the way in the lane. His layup is no good. Rebound grabbed by Murray. Here come the Spurs quickly back. And Murray runs into Harden. The ball is loose. Murray just throws a shot up at the buzzer, and he got it. That will tie the game at 108. if it beat the clock, and I believe it
did. Bill Schoening on Spurs radio. DeJounte Murray almost knocked to the cord by that collision with James Harden, collected himself, hit that shot at the horn. The Spurs score in the final 10 points of regulation to force OT with the Nets, but that was it.
Bates Diop all over him. Backs up, long three, rattles in for James Harden. And the Nets in complete control now in overtime with a minute to go. They have an 11-point
lead. Chris Carino on Nets Radio. Harden wrapping up a 30-point, 14-rebound, 15-assist performance and a 124-113 OT win in San Antonio. The Nets had lost their previous 17 games there. Carmelo Anthony scored 17 of his 29 in the fourth to lead the Blazers past the Hornets, 123-111. The Pelicans outscored the Jazz, 129-124. The Sixers down the Pacers, 130-114. Denver a 118-112 win in Chicago with Nikola Jokic scoring 39. And Cleveland won in Houston 101-90. That is 12 consecutive losses for the Rockets. Tonight's Raptors-Pistons game tentatively moved to tomorrow night as Toronto continues to deal with COVID. College Poops last night, number 17 Oklahoma State, top number 16 Oklahoma, 79-75, and number 21 Virginia took care of Miami, 62-51. But who cares about that when top-seeded Winthrop was shaming number 8 High Point in the Big South quarters, 83-54. Chandler Vaudrin, 10 points, 12 rebounds, 10 assists for triple-double number 3 of the season. The next victim is Longwood in the semis on Thursday.
Happy college being alive, Dave. Mm-hmm.
College football. Alabama planning on a full Bryant-Denny Stadium for football games this fall. They played at 20% capacity last year. From spring training, Trevor Bauer, two scoreless with two Ks in his Dodger debut. And on ice last night, Toronto blanked Edmonton for the second time in 3 days. 3-0. The Blues held off the Ducks 5-4. And the Canucks a 4-0 win in Winnipeg. DA, back to you.
Thank you, Bogues. Coming up throughout the morning, Super Dave calls from that Winthrop domination over High Point, which includes another beautiful taco reference that's coming your way this morning here on the show. But when we return, Mac Jones is getting a lot of comparisons to Tom Brady, of all people. Are they warranted? We'll do that next, as Mac is going to be an intriguing prospect in the NFL draft next month. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Have a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
My mom is very chatty with her mom groups on Facebook and whatever else she does while she's home all day. Who knows what's going on over there?
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
We need an update on Nancy Mraz's frustration level with me and Papa Mraz as well, because Bob the Deli Man was also unhappy with me and Bogues from last week. But we'll do that coming up here shortly after the upcoming segment, which is also a reminder that the DA show is available to watch. View us at watchda.com. Also on Twitch, find the CBS Sports Radio channel on Twitch to watch the simulcast every morning. Coming up in the NFL draft, to be expected, you have a lot of hype. To be expected, you've got a lot of enthusiasm, excitement that just builds over certain prospect, because hey, nobody wants to be told the NFL draft's going to be boring. Nobody wants to be told, yeah, there's no really good, exciting prospects here. You're not going to get any future Hall of Famers here. The quarterbacks aren't that great, etc. What you want to hear is, this guy's moving up draft boards. This guy's a great comparison to this guy. You're going to see greatness here, blah, blah, blah. All right, so I get it. This is one big kind of pep rally for most of the prospects, and then one or two will be dragged. We know how this calculus goes. This is the way that it goes every single year. 95% of the prospects are going to be built up into something that they will never be, and 5% of them will be dragged down because we have to have some pinatas. And I like Tua Tagovailoa, okay? Don't get me wrong. And I like that Tua wants to defend his teammates as basically anybody would have done. And Tua, of course, had Mac Jones as an understudy to him in Alabama. Here is Tua breaking down Mac Jones as an NFL prospect in this draft.
I would say he's a sly, kind of athletic person. He's a more mobile Tom Brady. You know, he's very athletic, I would say. But he's very smart, too. You know, not just on the field. He's smart off the field as well. But he's a great person. He's a really great person. And, you know, a lot of the guys, you know, when I was playing at Alabama, they really loved being around, you know, his personality and who he was. So I'm thinking whatever team gets him, I mean, they're going to be very lucky. He's a great player.
Tua Tagovailoa to Yahoo Sports. Okay. Again, Tua's a great teammate. Tua talking about a friend of his. Guys do this all the time. Whoever drafts him is going to have a great player on their hands. He's going to succeed. All of that stuff you could totally understand. And we've heard it a million times. I'm never going to get mad at a guy for defending his teammate or pumping up the tires of his teammate. But he's a more mobile Tom Brady. Oh, so you mean he's like the greatest quarterback that's ever lived? A more mobile Tom Brady is essentially the greatest quarterback that God ever created. And by the way, Tua's not the only guy that has compared Mac Jones to Tom Brady. If I stretched my imagination, it would be that Mac Jones is largely a pocket passer, that Mac Jones stands tall in the pocket and delivers a good ball, and that Mac Jones might not have the cannon arm, the howitzer of some of his peers, might be overlooked because he's not mobile, because some of his peers are, and that he might be overlooked in the draft by some potential talent evaluators despite playing at a large school and being a winner. I mean, but that could be a million guys. That's not Tom Brady. Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback ever. Tom Brady's won more Super Bowls than anybody ever, nearly doubled Joe Montana. Tom Brady, don't compare anybody to Tom Brady. You know, and this is just this amazing karmic retribution to me that I have taken the sledgehammer to the 2x4 to the Patriots for so long, and now I am being forced to defend Brady at every turn. Russell Wilson wants the Tom Brady treatment. You ain't Tom Brady. Mac Jones is a more mobile Tom Brady. He'll never sniff Tom Brady's jockstrap. If Mac Jones becomes a two-time Pro Bowl quarterback, that's a good draft pick for wherever he is going to go. He's the fifth highest quarterback in his own draft. You know, if he wins one Super Bowl, if he has Trent Dilfer's career, it's a great career. If he's Brad Johnson, it's a great career. I mean, he's a more mobile Tom Brady? Oh, okay, great. So he's like John Elway and Tom Brady combined. He's going to win 10 Super Bowls. Like, why can't we just let a guy be a guy and not compare him to freaking the greatest of all time? The Ringer has a rankings of all of the positional players, and they compare him most favorably to Matt Ryan. Okay. Now, this is a little bit more realistic that I can work with here. Mac Jones as a Matt Ryan light, because remember, Matt Ryan's the number one pick in the draft. By everybody's account, and I'm not saying that everybody's going to be right here, but Trevor Lawrence is the best quarterback, Justin Fields is the second best quarterback, Zach Wilson's the third, and Trey Lance is the fourth, and Mac Jones is a distant fifth. Let's not compare the fifth best quarterback in his own draft to Tom Brady. And I know that Brady was drafted in the sixth round after a number of QBs had been selected before him, so there's a comp there. But we now know what Tom Brady is. Wildly overlooked and should have been much higher. Let's not do that with Mac Jones here. Also, Mac Jones was throwing to two of the best wide receivers in football this past year, and probably two of the top 15 picks of the draft in Devontae Smith and Jaylen Waddle. Let's also remember that he had one of the best running backs in the draft, probably the number one running back taken in Najee Harris. So Mac Jones will likely have been surrounded by three first-round NFL draft picks. That is not Tom Brady coming out of Michigan. The Brady comparisons need to stop.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.